Military Mondays with David Katz.
David Katz, a very, very good morning to you. Gosh, I don't even know where to start with you because there's this whole question of the police, the army keeping law and order. Comments in the U.S. have now got an opinions editor of the New York Times to resign because somebody expressed a view that the army should be called in. Police are, the police force in Minneapolis are going to be defunded. And they're going to look to community something or other, God help Minneapolis. And New York saying as well, they're going to reduce funding of the police force. It's a bit scary, no?
We live in absolute strange times. I mean, say you've banned the new normal. This is the new normal.
Stop it.
Unprecedented. But let's have a look at it. I mean, we've seen just appalling scenes of ineptitude when it comes to policing. If you watch some of the footing, it's incredible. There seems to be a sort of policing dissonance. And I mean, this is just kickback going along there and calling in soldiers now into this type of situation. I mean, it's such a dangerous situation, so volatile. And I want to speak a little bit about today about the role of soldiers. And particularly this role is going to be weakened or more dangerous in the face of bad policing. There just seems to be a lack of situational awareness amongst these police, especially in the United States. And even here, there seems to be problems to that. There's an insensitivity to the implications of their actions. On the other hand, I mean, I saw something last night with the British police where they stood back and that statue was thrown into the river of a slave trader, and they actually made a decision not to interfere and stand back, and it cost them a statue. But I suppose somebody made a decision at a pretty low level not to intervene. I think it was the right decision, but it just seems at the moment that we're looking at police forces that have a combination of bad training for the situation. They look scared. A lot of the actions that they're doing, I don't think it's a right-wing reaction or a lot of it could be based on hatred of minority groups, but a lot of it seems to be policemen who are very scared, who are lacking the training to handle the situation, and certainly bad leadership. That's what it looks like at this stage. And added to this now is that you're going to call in the army to come and support all this type of thing. It's just a volatile mixture.
Yeah, it's just a fascinating thing because we've gone from acknowledging the incident that was horrific to saying that there is a problem within that police force. Maybe it's all police forces. Maybe it's the nature of what the police force is doing, part of their training, part of their cynicism. There's definitely a systemic issue. What that issue is, I don't know for sure. But to quote Zanatti, she said it on Friday, is why would we now go and throw the baby out with the bathwater?
No, certainly. If the situation can be rescued and there can be a retraining process and we could get the police to react better to a situation, have some type of a situational awareness. I mean, you need policing. There's no doubt about it. And
what's this alternative? What are they talking about? What is it like? Neighborhood watch? Is it neighbor? I mean, I promise you, no neighborhood wants me driving around in my Lexus keeping them safe because I won't.
Yeah, there is a movement. I'd feel safe with you patrolling my area in your Lexus. I think that's a great idea.
I'd let you know what happened in detail. And I would even give you an explanation around it, but I ain't saving you.
But you know how there's a jokes aside, there's a move to privatizing a security. I mean, we've seen it here in our own communities, is that there's a loss of faith in what the police could do. Mm. I mean, much the same as investigating reporting has gone out the window, the same as with the investigating police work has also sort of seems to have gone out the window. So a lot of this has now been privatized with private companies doing the investigation, private companies patrolling the streets. It's been privatized, and these people are sensitive to their customers. They're sensitive to looking after their customers and most probably more aware of the situation that they're operating in. But it's not the way. I don't
believe that's privilege, David. That is pure privilege.
Absolutely. You know, I believe that policing is a state organ.
Of course.
And that policing belongs to everybody. And this is also another role, by the way.
I'm sorry, just to say, it's easy for celebrities in the United States who are enormously wealthy to talk about defunding the police force when they live in gated communities with their own private armies.
And also, you don't want people acting on behalf of a certain minority and enforcing the laws according to that certain minority. And this is also where reserve policing becomes very important, in that your police rank should be filled with a lot of citizens and reservists that are part-time policemen that go in over there, and they reflect the will of the community. That's where your community police forums are very, very important. But what's more important is actually joining the police force as a citizen to make sure that it reflects the will of the people that are in your community. That's very important. And by the way, in South Africa, that's almost gone by the wayside. I don't know how many people
are reservists.
Still serve as reservists. It used to be a huge thing
to be a big thing. So does that not exist? I mean, it does exist. I know people
It does exist, but I know that they're under tremendous amount of pressure. I can't speak for the police, and I don't really know what's happening there, but I have a lot of police friends, and I know that they are underutilized, and there's a problem between police reservists and full-time policemen. There's always been that friction, and I think that friction now has also come to a head. So right here in South Africa, we have that problem, where your citizen police are not being used to the fullest.
Yeah, so it's actually an interesting observation is every month, and we haven't done it, of course, since lockdown, but every month we chat to the captain of the Sandringham police station, comes in to studio and talks to us about what's going on in there, you know, in the areas that fall under Sandringham. And the comment that he often makes, and he's made it repeatedly, is that part of the success in this area is the fact that A, they're police reservists, and B, that they work very well with some of the private security initiatives.
Yes.
And he speaks about that as being part of the success of the police force in this area.
Absolutely. So some of the better police stations that I've worked with, enrolled people of the community, when we did a special operation, your community police forum members would be present in that operation to observe and give feedback on the conduct of the police. Your immigration officers were there. SARS was with us. Mm. So once we walked into a place that we were raiding, I mean, everything was there. Your tax man was there. Your immigration man was there. Your security companies that operated in the area. So it was a whole combined force, and it worked very, very well. And that's what we need to be looking at. Is community should be part of policing, and this seems to be lacking in the States. I'm not 100% a favor of that situation, but there's something terribly wrong with policing in the States at the moment. And there are issues here also in South Africa. There are huge problems over here that also need to be addressed. But our problems seem to be different to what they're having over there, sometimes with the same result. You know, lethal force. It turns out that people die because of the dissonance within our police force and our army, which is unfortunate. And these things need to be addressed.
Yeah, most definitely. How bad is it in South Africa? Because a lot of criticism, certainly that I've seen, is that it's taken a situation in the United States to focus our attention here in South Africa on what is going on in our own backyard. Your thoughts?
Yeah, no, definitely, and I still don't think we're addressing it. Even though what's happening in the States, I don't think we're the same as the EU, as what's happening in Europe and the United Kingdom, where we've come out in force talking about police violence and that type of thing. Doesn't seem to be happening here. You know, the population is almost sort of accepting police excesses. I think a problem here also is when calling in the army, and I'm a great proponent of the army and its support of the police and that type of thing. I think it can be done. But I think there are structural problems over here with the army coming out onto the streets. Some of them are obvious, some of them are not so obvious. And I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the doctrinal differences between a police force and an army, and where a police force is supposed to come out and use minimum force to subdue riots, to make arrests. The army, although these days it's changed, I mean, the army has also been trained to use minimum force, and they should be able to operate in urban areas, and they should be able to operate with the police. And I mean, our army does receive that type of training. But the army is more conducive to a maximum force type of a situation. And a lot of it comes from the equipment. that the army is issued with. When the army goes out on the streets and operates in civilian areas, it doesn't have the equipment to enforce minimum force. There's certain equipment that's needed. I mean, we go out there with a rifle and a full magazine of bullets, and we don't have shields and truncheons and gas and protective equipment and helmets and that type of thing in order to institute minimum force. That's some of the problem that we have here.
And as a result of that, I mean, what does that mean? Does that mean that people are more panicky? They overreact, or does that mean they just simply can't do their job?
Well, so, look, I can talk from personal experience. Is that I've been in situations, let's say, where a riot is going on, and we don't have the equipment to subdue that riot with minimum force. We don't have gas, we don't have the shields, we don't have the knee pads, the neck protectors, the goggles, the gas masks. We don't have the equipment. All we have in front of us is a lethal weapon. Now, either that acts as an intimidation, an intimidatory factor, and often it did when we arrived there, and the crowd actually tuned into the fact that, you know, look at these guys. They're not equipped to deal with the situation by handcuffing us or putting cable ties on us or subduing us. All they've got is rifles, and often that led to a situation where the crowd would disperse and go away because they understood that, you know, here comes the problem.
But it means
but
business,
it doesn't
yeah.
always work. It doesn't always work. And you need that equipment to be able to produce the minimum force that's needed. And often we didn't have that. And there could be a bad result. Thankfully, it's come close a couple of times, but I haven't been in a situation where we've had that bad result. But sometimes I felt that things were going absolutely the wrong way. You know, it just takes a wrong temper on the wrong side. Somebody a little bit nervous with a happy trigger finger, and things can go wrong pretty quickly.
So interesting. I've never thought about that. So literally we're stuck with a situation where people go from basically 0 to 100.
Well, that's the situation. First of all, soldiers shouldn't be involved at the sharp end of policing. So what I'm saying to you is that a soldier shouldn't be involved in actually, they should be a force multiplier, they should be support. Soldiers shouldn't arrest. Soldier has no right of arrest. He needs to be accompanied by a policeman before he enforces the law. So every soldier or unit of soldiers to be accompanied by at least one or two policemen that have the powers of arrest. So soldiers shouldn't be seen as policemen, and they shouldn't be involved in getting into tactical situations. They should be there for support. And once they are needed for support, unfortunately, in this country, right here at the moment, we don't have the hardware, we don't have the equipment to institute minimum force often. And we've seen the results of that. Luckily, the army wasn't involved in Marikana, but we've seen the results
of long arms being
used against a crowd. And I mean, it's horrific at the end of the day. And that's a bunch of scared people worried about guys with knives, and you don't have anything less than a rifle to subdue them with, and it's a problem.
Major David Katz, that is where we have to leave it. Fascinating, fascinating conversation, and one no doubt that we will continue as this issue becomes the new focus of 2020. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.